Okay, so we just started recording our call, and but let me just talk about what was just said about taking a break and how important that is. What happens is that when you keep working and working and working, trying to get somewhere in your business, and you start to come from a place of desperation, you know, like you have to, when you start to hold your career, your finances, your success as a have to, you know, I have to do this, otherwise it's not going to work. I have to make more money. I've got to get more listings. When you start to hold your business, your life that way, you actually start to go more towards what you don't have. You start stressing and attracting more of what's causing the stress to begin with. So you want to, if you ever get to that place, what you need to do is let that go. You need to just relax. You need to chill out. You need to maybe step away. You should never force. It's, you know what? My mother used to tell me this, and it's about relationships. She said, when you're looking for a relationship, that's when it doesn't happen. And when you're not looking for it, all of a sudden it comes to you. And some philosophers talk the same thing about a butterfly. You can't chase a butterfly. You just have to be and let it come to you. And the same thing is that way about success. The more you chase it, the more it's going to avoid you. It's going to elude you. So, yes, taking a break, relaxing, chilling is a good thing. Okay, great. So somebody else, do you have anything you want to share? Now, a lot of you just muted yourself, so I won't be able to hear you. So if you start to talk and I don't hear you, hit *6 and that will unmute you. So does anybody else have anything good you want to share, mentioned, or even ask me? If you want to start going right into coaching and me giving you some advice, let's do that too. So does anybody have anything?
Yeah,
hi, Paul. Yeah, who's this?
Yeah, it's Jean Scully from Coble Banker, New Jersey.
Hi, Jean. Well, we got all the Jersey people today. Good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
How you doing, Jean? All right. What do you got, babe?
Oh, well, I have a listing that was on the market for all of 5 days, and we had 2 offers, and while we were sitting down at the table to go over which offer they were going to take, another agent called up and wanted to put an offer in sight unseen. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you're kicking some butt, Jean, yes?
Yeah, it was really good. And it wasn't a fire sale price either. It was just we were all alone in that price category in that town. And they actually ended up picking the lowest offer because they liked the people. So,
mm-hmm.
But
well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jean.
Oh, no, it's just been really great. Things are really happening.
Now, Jean, there's a couple of great things you said. Number one is, let me ask you, though, you were in the show results that I just did in Jersey in the past couple of months, yes?
Yes, I was.
Okay, good. Now, Jean, do you remember the technique that I taught you about having the buyers write a letter to the sellers?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Now, for those of you that are not students of mine, like you have, well, you're all students because you're power agents, you're on the call, but some of you are power agents, and you have not taken my 3-day training course called Sure Results, where I teach everything specific to real estate. And so what I taught Gene and the other power agents that have attended Sure Results is when you present an offer, you should write a letter to the buyers write a letter to the sellers, telling the sellers why they're so excited about the possibility of owning their home. And it's more of a gushy, you know, emotional experience in the letter, you know. And the reason why that's so powerful is because homeowners, like Gene just said it, when homeowners are selling a house, they're not just selling a house, they're selling a home. What's real interesting is a lot of homeowners, they look at that deed to their house almost like a family tree. They know who owned the house before them and who owned it before them and down the line. So if they have a buyer that they don't like, they almost don't want to sell it to them, which is an odd thing that happens sometimes. So they'll be really strict on their price. They'll be strict on the terms. And, you know, they get ticked off anytime they even see the buyers like doing an inspection. Oh, I can't stand these people. So it's a really hard deal to put together. But when they really like the buyers, and if they love the buyers, I've seen it happen more times than not, where the homeowner will be not only flexible, but if there's two offers on the table, where one offer is even better than the other, but they can't stand the better offer, those people, or they like and really love the other offer people, even though it's less, they'll take that offer. I've seen it happen a million times. So this letter humanizes the buyers. Very powerful. So, Gene, you said that. You said that they really like these buyers. Did you get a chance to have them write that letter, or no, it was just they met each other and they liked each other and all that stuff?
Well, I was actually on the listing side, and they didn't even have to write a letter. What happened was my clients were very elderly. They're in their 80s, and the buyers were coming quite late in the evening, like almost 8 o'clock, and that's like night-night time for them, you know. So I told them, look, just don't follow them around. You know, just go sit in the living room. Don't follow them around. But I didn't, you know, make them leave like I usually do. When buyers are coming, I don't want them around. And they met this couple, and they just hit it off, and they were, their little boy climbed up in my client's lap and was running around the yard, and that was it. They just fell in love with them and thought, well, up this house when our, or actually my client built the house with his own hands when his daughter was young, and they just wanted to pass it on.
Awesome.
That's exactly what they said. They wanted to pass it on to someone that would love it as much as they did. And
yeah,
that was it.
That's so awesome. Oh, that's awesome, Gene. And, yeah, when you're on the listing side, it's really close to impossible to get the letter done because it's not your buyers. You can't explain it to the selling agent because they wouldn't understand the concept or even appreciate it unless they're a past student of mine. So, really, that technique only works when you're on the seller side. All right, Gene, congratulations. And I'm going to help some people in a minute. I know some of you on this call are probably, you're hearing a lot of successes from the students that I've worked with recently. And you're probably even getting frustrated, maybe even depressed, because it's not happening for you, and I'm going to address that in a second. But before I do, does anybody else have anything that you want to share, even especially if you need coaching or help with something?
Hi. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Keisha. I'm from Queens Icon Realty. I wanted to, I'm new. This is actually my first time joining in, and I feel like I met Debbie. Before I called in, I was just listening to some of the previous recordings you have on the site, which I think
awesome. Good job, Keisha. Good job, Keisha. Yes, yeah, so go.
Names on the line, you know, I've been hearing, and I'm like, I feel like I know you guys. I've attended a seminar that you had some years ago, and the name always came out, and I always, you know, it came back. So I just happened to join the Power Program, but I had some questions. I think I want to maybe try to save it toward the end. Real estate is in my blood. Like, this is something I tell everybody. This is a license that I will never let expire. I think my driver's license will expire before my real estate license expires. But I wanted some more techniques, tools, you know, to do. But I don't want to hold up the, you know.
Well, Keisha, let's do this. Why don't you ask the question, and then I'll decide if I should hold it till later, okay? So just give me a short question, okay? Go ahead.
Okay. I want to go after the expired, you know. I want to build an inventory in the area that I live in, you know. I've been licensed for about 7 years. I've had some ups and downs in terms of I had, like, maybe 10 listings all at one time. I got discouraged from a short sale deal. I want that boost back to be able to go out there. Like, I just recently got back in, and I quit my job about 2 years ago, and I'm starting to see some results, you know. But I
all right, well, hang on a second, Keisha. Let me do this because I want to make sure that not only do I give you value, but that everybody else gets value. So I don't want people to get lost in your explanation of your background because some people will emotionally and just check out of the call, and we don't want that to happen. So I want to just get clear about what your question is because I don't need the background stuff. Is the question, do you want to build listing inventory and work expires more? Is that it?
Okay. Overcome the step in making the phone calls and overcoming the rejection and getting the appointments. Like, that's what
awesome.
I want to do. And closing when I'm there on the appointment. That's really what I want.
Okay, very great. So, Keisha, that's great. So, what we're going to do is I'm going to address that for you, and because that's such a great question and a big answer, I'm going to definitely save it towards the end of the call. And here's what we're going to do right now, and then I'm going to jump into your question. By the way, let me just say this for everybody on the call. While I'm doing this call, I want you to start to think about what you need help with. Keisha jumped right in, which I really appreciate. So this is an opportunity for you to get one-on-one coaching from me. So I want you to start to think, and if you could ask me one question, one issue that you're having right now in your business, whether it's, balancing your life, whether it's personal, whether it's time management or prospecting or the listing appointment or handling an objection, whatever it might be, I want you to ask me. And you can write it down, and when I'm done with this next piece that I'm going to do, then I'll open it up to the call again. Right now what I'm going to do is I want to go over the magazine and some of the stuff that's on the Power Program site, okay? And I'm going to go through that. Part of what I do on every call, for those of you aware this is the first call, on the website, when you log in, thepowerprogram.com is the site, thepowerprogram.com. Once you go to that site, there's a place where you sign in. After you sign in, you'll be able to access the magazine and the PowerPoint slides. If you don't have your username, password, now you lost it, don't ask me because I can't give it to you. You got to call my office and they'll give it to you. So you'll have to wait till after the call. Those of you that are in front of your computer and you're able to open up the magazine, it'll help you to follow along with me. If you can't, because you're not in front of a computer, just write down maybe page numbers and what I say that I want to point out to you. After I do that, then I'm going to go into question and then open it up to any other questions. Now, one thing I do want to say for those of you that are a little depressed by listening to some of the successes that you just started to hear at the beginning of this call, here's what I want to tell you. Anybody that's having successes right now, it's not because of what they're doing right now, but it's what they did maybe 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 3-4 months ago down the road. Real estate and success is really not what happens based on what you do today, but it's based on been doing the past several weeks. It's like planting seeds. You don't plant a seed and then it's, hang on a second, what I'm going to do is, because I'm hearing some extra noise, hang on. I am going to try something. Hang on. Okay, so what I did is I just muted everybody so no one can be heard at all right now, so that way it'll sound a lot better. If you want to ask me a question or interrupt me or something, you can. You're just going to have to hit *6 on your keypad to ask me a question. Otherwise, I can't hear you. So let me continue with what I was saying. If you go out to a garden, you plant a seed, whether it's grass seed, whether it's fruit, whatever it is, it's going to take some time for it to cultivate and for it to grow. And it's not going to happen right away. Now, the thing that helps any seed or any plant grow quicker or and stronger is really the planting fertilizer. In the old days it used to be manure. I think I can use a little bit more aggressive word with you guys on the call because you're my power agents. I wouldn't say this in public, but one of my students was referencing it as crap, C-R-A-P. And they said something funny. They said, if you stay focused on the seeds of greatness, it'll help you deal with the crap that you have to deal with in your life. And I started thinking, well, actually, crap or manure or whatever is actually a good thing because it helps give you nutrients to the seeds. So if you're going through any crap, if you're going through manure right now in your business, your personal life, whatever it is, that's actually a nutrient for your own seeds of greatness for you to become a stronger person, as long as you relate to it that way. So any of you that might be frustrated in your business, stay focused, stay committed, understand that this is going to make you stronger, whatever you're going through. And more importantly, when you see other people succeeding, it's not because they're lucky or because, they've got something that you don't have. It's just that they were planting the seeds maybe a few weeks ago or a few months ago and working really hard, and it starts to pay off eventually. Okay, now, with that said, let me go to the magazine, the Power Program magazine, and give you some other stuff, and then I'm going to address Keisha's call, question and then open it up to everybody else. So when you go into the magazine, the person we interviewed this month, her name's Laura Anderson, okay? And Laura Anderson, her website, you should jot this down, lauraandersonrealestate.com, okay? Now, when you go to her website, there's so many things that I really love about this. Now, I don't like to get into websites or technology or social media, but when I looked at her site to get ready for this call, I really got excited because this is one of the best sites that I've seen. There was a lot of great things about it. First of all, if you go to the bottom of her website, you'll see who designed it, and it's called Web Agents. They designed the site. They have a template. I don't know what they charge. I don't know how expensive they are, you know, even if it was a couple of thousand, I think it'd be worth it because this is really a great site. There's great colors, great layout, very easy to use. I can't really find anything wrong that I'd say should be improved about this website. Now, the one thing that was really awesome, on her homepage, she's got this really, and it's great fonts, it's a great picture, just love it. It says, guaranteed, or I'll pay you $5,000. My guarantee promises results, Laura Anderson. So that is the banner on her website. So she's guaranteed to sell the house, so she'll pay you $5,000. So then you click on it to find out what it is. Now, what was really awesome is that when I clicked on it, it wouldn't tell me about the guarantee until I filled out a couple of questions, my name, my email, maybe one or two other things, city, state, something like that. Very basic information. Now, what happens to me filling this out, as a lot of you know, is that she's now captured my contact information, and depending on her system, I may be going into an email drip campaign. It's a lead that she generated from her site that I clicked through. So I'd like you to take a look at her site. Really great, powerful site. Now, if you go to page 23 in the magazine, there's a letter here that's kind of an old letter. There were some things that I really liked about it. This is great for short sales. This is a great mass mailing piece. Let me just read you a couple of pieces about it. Dear homeowner, do you need to sell your home quickly? We can help. We are investors who purchase several houses per month, houses just like yours, in neighborhoods just like yours, in every part of the country. I really love that paragraph. I love just like yours. That was great. The first sentence, do you need to sell your home quickly? So there were some really great pieces about that first paragraph. Now, the second paragraph, you would have to tweak it because it says we're not realtors and we're not associated with any real estate firm. You know, I would go the other way. I would say because I'm a realtor and I work at, Power Realty, we have a certain expertise in helping homeowners such as yourself in getting their property sold. And if you can't sell it, we'll buy it, or we have investors we're working with. So, and then at the bottom, it has the homeowner can fill out something now, and then send it back. The only mistake that I see about this letter is that it's not telling the homeowner what to do with the bottom piece. It says it does say in the last paragraph, call our free 24-hour hotline or visit us at webuyhouses.asap. Which, by the way, that web link is no longer good. There is a webuyhouses.com that I discovered, and then it says, or call direct at this phone number. But the problem with this letter is that it has this little piece at the bottom that says, yes, I'm interested in selling my house. I'm asking this for my home. Here's how many bedrooms, baths, blah, blah, blah. It's not telling the person what to do with this little form. Like, should they fax it? Should they mail it? So that would be the only thing that I would change in this letter. It's just a well-written letter. It's a great mass mailing piece. You know, the problem with short sales or people that are possibly going to be foreclosed on, it's hard to find that out, that information, unless you subscribe to one of these companies. But that's only when they're in a, you know, somebody can be a couple of months late and you wouldn't know about it. It's only when foreclosure has started that it gets recorded in these companies that actually you can buy that list of people who are in foreclosure. So this is a great mass mailing letter. I like the next page on page 24. It says, do you have a real estate referral? Will you please help me? Do you know of anyone who's thinking or planning to move, a friend, a relative, or client who can use the finest real estate service available? If so, I want to thank you for your referral. Please provide the following information. Great flyer, great referral mailing piece. Love it. The next one, 25, love it even more. This is to send out to vacant land. We are currently working with builders and developers who have asked us to find residential landowners that may have potential interest in selling their property. If you thought of selling or are interested in what builders would offer you for your property, please contact me right away. And then it says you can email me, fax me, call, and there's a form to fill out. So really love that letter from Prudential, Douglas Elliman of Long Island. It's a, all right, that was page 25. 26. This is, I'm not going to go through this too much. This was Century 21, H.T. Brown, one of my clients. They talk about the guaranteed sale program. And what this is, I don't really want to get into the guaranteed sale program on this call. I've done it on other calls and we recorded it. And a lot of agents don't do it because you've got to get involved with your broker. It takes a lot of time and energy to put this type of program together. You should have like a separate agreement, contracts as to what you're willing to do. But the concept is that, hey, listen, if we don't sell your house in today's market when you list with us, we guarantee to buy your that it'll sell because we'll buy it. But how it works is that you pay 75% of maybe the appraised amount. So, and then you put it back on the market at a discounted price, and whatever happens above the 75% that you bought it for, then you would split the profit with the homeowner. So if you have a house that's worth, you know, $100,000 and you pay $75,000 for it and you wind up selling it for $90,000, well, the difference between $75,000 and $90,000 is $15,000. You split the difference with the homeowner. So you make a profit as an investor. And so that's the guaranteed sale program. It's a great way to generate calls. This article explains it. So that's the short version of it. There's some problems doing the guaranteed sale program right now because there's so many people with short sales that there isn't even equity to split. And if you bought 75% of the value, it definitely would be a short sale. So there's challenges with doing that now, but I wanted to put that in there. This page 28, you know, a lot of agents have asked me, Daryl, how can I get feedback from a homeowner after I go on a listing appointment and I don't get the listing? Usually when you call them, they don't tell you the truth. They say, oh, no, we liked you. There's nothing with you. It's just, you know, I don't know. We were drunk when the new agent came in. And so you're never going to get a real honest answer. So I put together this part of this letter. One of them is it's a little aggressive, one of the sentences. I want you to tweak it based on your style. But the letter starts off by saying, hey, congratulations on placing your home on the market. You've chosen a fine real estate agent. Obviously, I'm sorry that my company cannot represent you. However, we do understand that it's your home, you're the boss, and you make the decision. We put a lot of time and effort into our presentation, and we are always disappointed when we are not successful. However, we also understand that we must learn from our setbacks. Therefore, in return for the information I gave you in my presentation, I would appreciate it if you'd be kind enough to fill out this brief survey and return the self-addressed stamped envelope. It will help improve my services to sellers in the future. So there's some sentences here and there. It could be a little aggressive. You just tweak it to make it your own. And then there's three simple questions that you're asking the homeowner to fill out. There's still a good chance that the homeowner is not going to fill this out and send it to you. But the good thing about it is that my experience has been usually if you lose a listing, it's because the other agent told them either a higher price or B, a lower commission. And usually those two things doesn't get the house sold. So unfortunately, what happens when I lost listings, it almost never sold with the other agent they picked. So it wound up expiring, and then I would go in and get the listing. And so if I send a survey like this, and as opposed to just a phone call, no one does this kind of thing. And so the homeowner said, boy, that was really classy. That's really nice that Daryl's looking to improve himself and that he sent us that even though he lost the business, he still took the time to write this letter and send it to us and mail it to us. So that's pretty awesome. So they'll probably keep this. And even if they don't fill it out, they'll keep it and they'll say if it doesn't work out, this agent, they'll call Daryl. So that's what that is. Now, this next thing I really love, and as a matter of fact, this next thing I think is worth your monthly membership, just these two pages. you know, here's what it is. It says a 30 to 60 day review checklist. And let me just read some of the things and then I'll explain to you how to use this. So this is for your current listings, and it's a little checklist for you to review on the 30-day mark and the 60-day mark. Review the MLS listing. Make sure you're checking the remarks and the access is correct. Check the location, accuracy of the information. I mean, that's stuff you should do when you first put a listing in, but sometimes, you guys, you know, you put stuff in last minute, you miss something. So at month 30, you should sit down and go through your check the remarks, the spelling, the access, all that stuff about the listing. Check the MLS book for marketing, like the photos. Make sure it's done well. If the listing is not getting showings, consider, and then it goes through a whole bunch of things to consider. So if the listing is not getting showings, consider reducing the price, directional signs if it's legal, additional flyers, step up some of the advertising, blah, 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 blah. If the listing is getting showings but not contracts, consider these items. Maybe it needs to reinspect, reevaluate the condition, maybe do a staging video, maybe get a stager to come in on the property because it's not showing properly. Let me see. There's a few others. Let me read a few others. Also, re-stress the showing instructions with the sellers. Turn the TV off. Turn the lights on. Fire in the fireplace if it's appropriate. You know, price range. Is the property aggressively priced? Other incentives, increasing the brokerage commission. Evaluate other sales similar to this listing. So anyway, there's two pages here, page 29 and 30, that is a 30 and 60-day review checklist. Now, here's how you would use this checklist. And like I said, I love this. Number one is, if you have an assistant or a team, this should be implemented, okay? Your team, your assistant, whoever can, whoever you want to assign this to, is you tell them on the 30-day mark, go through this checklist with our listings. And again, 60 days. Number two is if you don't have an assistant, this is good for you to do for yourself. Number three is that you can share this with the homeowner. When you sit down with them the 30 days, 60 days, you can show them, listen, I've gone through this review and here's a couple of things that I've thought of based on this checklist. So it's making you more professional with your current sellers. But here's the best thing that I love about this 30-day, 60-day review, is that you actually show this before you get a listing, that this is what you do for your sellers. Now, when you show a homeowner, let me show you what I do, Mr. and Mrs. Hanana. if your house hasn't sold in 30 days, I go through this checklist to see if there's something missing that could have gotten missed. It's like a quality control checklist. And then I would show the homeowner some of the items, if not all these items, on a listing appointment. Now, the reason why this is so awesome is because, first of all, almost every agent that might have come in before me doesn't have anything like this, and if they did, they're probably not even telling the homeowner, because most agents, what they do on a listing appointment is they tell a homeowner, here's what I'm going to do to get your property sold. I'm going to do broker's open house, public open house, put a yard sign, all that stuff. And the homeowner listens to like, wah, 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 because every agent comes in, says the same thing, just with a different voice. It's like, can you imagine like American Idol, like if everybody sang the same song? The only thing that makes it different is the person's voice and the performer. Well, that's what it seems like to a homeowner sometimes, like American Idol. Every agent's coming in saying the same thing. It's just a different singer. Broker's open house, public open house, yard sign, blah, blah, blah. Now, my students, when they do it, they're using metaphors and analogies, so it really sounds much different. They're not just telling, they're selling, so it is much better. But the other piece that we should be doing that no one else is doing is explaining what we do behind the scenes. Like after they've hired you, in addition to the marketing, what are some of the other things that you do on how you run your business and how you stay focused? This like checklists and systems. I think if you show a homeowner some of the checklists and systems that you do to run your business, in addition to MLS, yard sign, feature sheet, Blockbox, blah, 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 that's definitely going to show, make you so much more different from any other agent. Homeowners are going to appreciate it. So I think that this checklist is going to actually help you get more listings if you show a homeowner this is what you do. All right. Continuing on. Okay, page 31. This is just a flyer for getting referrals. Have you increased that? I'm not going to go through all that. Self-explanatory. There's a just listed just sold letter on page 32. 33 is a mistake. It's a repeat of page 31. So sorry about that. Oops. And these are a couple of pages, 34 and 35, which you can use on a face-to-face appointment with a buyer. I'm sorry, one is for buyers and one's for the seller. Page 34, why it's important to price your home properly. More exposure to buyers, less aggravation, faster sale, easier for buyers to obtain financing, attract higher and more offers, and you will net more money, actually. That's page 34. Love it. Page 35 uses Warren Buffett as, like, would Warren Buffett buy real estate right now? And a lot of us know, and I put this on your website last month, there was a slide last month that showed quotes from Donald Trump, from the Case-Shiller report, and Warren Buffett saying that, I love Warren Buffett's quote, last month he said, right now, if I could, I would buy a couple of 100,000 homes, single residential homes, because real estate's such a great, it's a better investment right now than stocks. Warren Buffett saying, I would buy a couple of 100,000. I'm not wording it the right way, but he said it kind of freakish too. Basically, he would buy over 200,000 single-family properties if he could. That's how good real estate is right now. There's another, this page 35 is in Warren Buffett. He has like a checklist about when he buys investments. And here's what, like, for example, is does the investment have strong intrinsic value? Does it have long-term growth in value over a long haul, which we know real estate does? Reflect on the nature of the investment and its future. Rather than selling an investment whenever anyone else is dumping, he looks for the undervalued investment opportunities. And he avoids the herd mentality investing, meaning that, you know, a lot of people, when they're waiting for property values to come down, they're holding back and buying. That's when you should, you know, I'll tell you something. I made a mistake just before 2006 happened. I bought a bunch of investment properties, and it was after Katrina down in Mississippi, and that was the height of the real estate bubble. So I bought a bunch of investment properties, and you know, I lost a lot of money down there because we were going to fix it, improve it, and put it back on the market. So I thought we had some good things happening with properties being – it doesn't matter. The bottom line is I bought when everybody else was buying, and so I lost a ton of money down in Mississippi. So, you know, if a lot of people are not buying now, that's the time for buyers to buy. Now, what we've been seeing, though, happen in this first quarter of this year is we're seeing a lot more activity. So we should be using that as a sense of urgency, or create a sense of urgency with buyers that, listen, before the market gets driven up again by all the sales activity, you got to get it now. Like, if you wait a few months later, you're going to start buying, you're going to be losing money because you didn't buy at a good time and good value. So, as a matter of fact, I have a couple of slides. Let me see where they are. If from now on, what I used to do, gang, is in the Power Agent magazine, I used to give you these visuals in the magazine. I've decided from now on that these visuals are created in PowerPoint, and I'm uploading them on the site in the PowerPoint format, so that way you have the ability to actually tweak the slide yourself, where you can actually go in and edit the slide if you have PowerPoint on your computer. This month, last month, you should check it out for sure, because there's some good stuff on there. This month, let me see, Home Builders Outlook Plunges Reversing Spring Rain. All right, that's the seller. Let me do the buyer one first. On the buyer slide first, I have three slides for you. It seems as though prices are rebounding. The medium asking price in March jumped 5.5%. It's 5.6% from a year ago. And we're up 1% from the month before in February. In addition, this article from the Wall Street Journal talks about that there's been a sharp drop in the number of homes listed for sale from a year ago. So basically what this slide is showing to tell a buyer, hey, listen, sales are up and inventory's down. So your choices are getting fewer. Property values have gone up 5% over last year. So if you had bought last year, your property would be up almost 6%. So you're starting to miss out. You need to buy a house today. So that's what you want to communicate to your buyers when you meet them before you start showing property. Here's another one from Fannie Mae. Fannie Mae said that there's a lot of spring excitement right now. Unemployment has been steadily easing, and we haven't had any economic crisis in the last 6 months. For this reason, when they surveyed people, 33% believe that they expect home prices to rise. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, when a third of the population thinks that home prices are going to rise, just them thinking confidently like that will start to drive prices up. So if we look at the first slide, Wall Street Journal showing prices are up from a year ago. We're seeing fewer homes for sale. A third of people who responded to the survey feel that property value is going to go up. And then on top of it, if we look at investors are swarming into real estate. That's the third slide, gang. And it says on the third slide, the number of homes sold to investors more than doubled from last year. Rents are going up. They actually have seen, where is it? Investors, half of them using no mortgages, bought 1.23 million homes in 2011. That's a 65% jump from 2010. So it's more than double from last year, and the year before that, up 65%. So here's what I put in this slide. If investors are buying real estate because they can get such a great return renting houses out, doesn't it make sense that you do the same for yourself? Now, I'm not saying that we should tell buyers you should buy property and rent it out. No, you should buy properties and rent from yourself. You should be, if investors are buying, you need to get in. This is a good return for you. Warren Buffett says it too. Okay. Did somebody just unmute themselves?
Yes, I did. I just had a question, Daryl. Which slide are you reading from now? Because I was scrolling through.
Now, that's Keisha, right? That's you, right, hon?
Yes, it is.
Yes, that is when you're on the Power Program website and you've logged in, it'll show you, it'll say April buy slides, okay? And
okay.
Just make a note of that if you can't find it now because I'm not on the website myself.
Okay, you said April's edition?
Yes, yeah,
April.
This month's edition. It's right there on the Power
what
Program.
Page?
Hang on.
April's now.
I'm sorry, hon?
What page were you on? Because I'm in April's.
It's not in the magazine, hon. It's on the home page. Yeah. I used to put them in the magazine. It's not in the magazine now. It is, let me see, I have to log in myself. It is, I can't log in right now. It's not in the magazine. It's on the homepage after you signed in. So don't look in the magazine. Go to the homepage, and you should see the slides right there, okay?
Under classroom, maybe. I'll play around with it a little bit. Thank you.
It's right on. Wait, let me see. Are you logged in, hon? Did you use username and password? Are you logged in?
I'm in. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're in, if you're on the homepage, so just go to the homepage. Just click home. Yeah. Don't go to classroom. Go to the home page.
Okay.
And scroll down to the bottom, all the way to the bottom. You'll see the little flipping magazine.
Uh-huh.
And after the flipping magazine, you'll see it says April 2012 PowerPoint slides. Do you see that?
Is that under archive? Because I don't.
No,
okay,
it's
yes.
Over to the left.
I see it. Uh-huh.
You see it, it's just words, right? Yeah. So when you click on that, it's going to launch PowerPoint on your computer, and that's the slides I just did. Really good stuff.
Gotcha.
Now,
thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Now, let me do the seller slides. I'm going to go through that right now. The first slide, it says Home Builder's Outlook Plunges. What's really funny is every month, gang, I'm giving you these slides. There'll be two, three slides that say, hey, now's the time to buy. And then the same month, I'm going to give you, oh, my gosh, this is a horrible market. You need to sell and lower your price. And because it's funny, when I research it, you find both sides of the coin out there. So like this one here, home builders outlook plunges, reversing the spring rebound. There's a nice graph there that shows that home builders have lost confidence in the market. And then I put a little quote in there. If home builders are not confident about the market, that is a red flag. Times are going to get worse in coming months for traditional home sellers. So you want to show a homeowner that because that they need to price their property to sell as quickly as possible. Housing recovery turns into relapse from Realty Check, CNBC, Diane Orlick. She says there's a new housing data last week that disappointed the analysts in the stock market. Now, I love this quote from a New Jersey realtor, so shout out to all the Jersey folks. He was quoted in saying, just reviewed my March buyer clicks, Google Analytics on all the sites that we monitor. March is turning out to be the weakest month since last October. So this is a Jersey broker quoting about the buyer activity out there. Again, some of you from Jersey, you're having your best quarter. This is just one person's quote, which I put to use so you can show a homeowner to scare them. They get a price their properties to sell as quickly as possible. And then there's one more graph for the sellers showing the homeowner prices are still flat. They're not going up. They're going up and down, but very small. You know, it's staying in there. So that's it on the slides. That's it on the magazine. Let me go into Keisha's question about how to overcome the fear of calling expired. Keisha, can you still talk to me? Can I still hear you? I don't think I can. Keisha, you there?
Yeah, I just unmuted. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, good, good. So, Keisha, let me just deal with you on this and everybody else you listen in. And, Keisha, I'm going to try and do this about 5 minutes so I can open up the call because I got 15 minutes on the call, and I want to give you 5 minutes and then see if anybody else needs coaching on something specific. So, Keisha, yes or no, have you been calling FSBOs at all?
Not FSBO. Well, actually, I did. I have a problem with following up, so yes and no.
Okay, all right. So here's what I can tell you. In getting past the fear of calling FSBOs and or expireds, there is an attitude thing, and so let me just give you, and then I'll give you some dialogue, okay? First of all, you have to recognize to just not take it personal. Number two is you've got to set it up in your schedule ahead of time. I was watching the doctors. I forget what that show is in the morning. There's these four doctors. It's like a Good Morning America type of show, and they have a plastic surgeon and an internist and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they were talking about diets, and they had a diet expert on there, and the diet expert said, you know, the reason why a lot of us fail at diets is because we don't have our meals planned out for the rest of the day, you know, the day before. So what happens is that when you get up in the day and you start to live your life, especially this is true for us realtors, is that we don't eat until we're hungry, you know, like, so we're working, and it's like almost sudden I forgot to eat, and I'm hungry now. So because we're in starvation mode, we really go to what's the quickest thing to get rid of the starvation. And whatever's quick is usually not healthy. Fast food, deli stuff, whatever. So if you plan out your day ahead of time, before you even woke up that day, here's what I'm eating, here's my snacks, here's my morning, my lunch, my dinner, and here's the time I'm going to eat. And you just doing the planning is going to help you eat healthier and lose weight. Now, so Keisha, what you need to do, number one, is you need to put a plan into place when you're going to prospect. Otherwise, you're going to always avoid it. So you've got to pick your days and your times when you're going to commit. Keisha, do you go to the gym and work out at all?
No, the boardwalk.
Okay, all right. Well, you know those folks that go to the gym and work out, what they do is they pick their days and their time. You know, you can't fit the working out in the gym into your life. You have to fit your life into the commitment of the gym. So the same thing is true about prospecting. You've got to go to the prospecting gym, pick the days and the times, and everything else has to work around that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I've heard that before. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's a big thing. The second thing is what you want to do when you're making the calls is you don't want to focus on you. You want to focus on them. Have it be more about them. It's not about you taking a listing. It's not about you selling them. It's about you serving them. Because when you think about what we do, we really are going to help a homeowner by advertising, promoting. We're going to spend a lot of money out of our pockets. They don't have to pay us anything. They don't reimburse us for anything. So in a sense, we're working for free. The only time that they pay us is if we get the job done. I got to tell you, I would love to have an employee. If I can do that with employees, I would have like so many more employees. I could tell people, listen, I ain't paying you any salary. You got to work your butts off. The only time you get paid is when we book a seminar or we do, and then you'll get a piece of that business. Other than that, I don't pay you. I could have a whole staff of people working for me like that. And that's what we're doing for our homeowners. We're saying, you do not have to pay me. I'm actually going to go into my pocket for you. That's a great deal. So, Keisha, you have to remember what we're doing is we're actually serving and helping people. We're not looking to take anything from them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The third thing is calls are usually hardest in the first 60 seconds. After that first 60 seconds, the homeowner is a totally different human being on the other end of the call. And the reason why that is because that first 60 seconds, they've practiced, drilled, and rehearsed so many times because they've had so many agents calling them. They've mastered the first 60 seconds, and the homeowner and the agents usually can't last past 60 seconds. The trick in working FSBOs and expireds on the phone is not making the call go quickly, but it's actually slowing it down. Part of what you need to do on the call is build a relationship, and how you do that is by asking questions. So don't rush the call. Just chill out, and I'm going to give you the dialogue, although it's on the classroom. If you go to classroom, you will see the FSBO dialogue and the expired dialogue.
I've seen it.
What's that?
I'll go back over it. I know we're running out of time. I wanted to ask you, Lynn, when I call today, let's say, no, I'm not selling out. I get a lot of calls. Our house is not for sale. When do I call back, or if do I even call back, you know, within that week or?
Well, that's a good question. So when you call, you're saying when you call an expired and they say, you know, our house is not for sale, is that what you're saying?
They're getting bombarded with a lot of agents calling. It's Monday, I'm calling, they get me. No, you should. Our house was available for a whole year, you didn't sell, we're not selling anymore. Click.
Okay, so here's what you try and do. You try and get in on the click. Now, because you're from Queens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just got to be a little bit more aggressive than what I teach, because with Queens and Jersey, but it's worse in Queens and Brooklyn, where they really just want to hang up on you. I don't find that most parts of the country. I even find it a lot less in Jersey. But in that Queen, in your market, yes, they're gonna want to hang up on you. So what you got to try and do is get in there a little bit more aggressively in your speaking. So when you call, say, hi, I'm calling about the house for sale. Yes, is the house, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. Oh, no, we're not selling. Well, I understand, ma'am. Let me just ask you a question. So the reason why I'm calling is I'm looking at a copy of the ad, and I'm surprised that it didn't sell. And you just want to jump in the dialogue as much as possible. If they say to you, no, the house is not for sale, you want to say, well, did you sell it? No, we didn't sell. Well, if you could sell it, if I can help you get the money you need to make the move a success, you're asking $450,000. If I can get you the $450,000 that you're asking and it worked for you financially, would you reconsider selling now?
Uh-huh.
You just got to get in there, okay?
Oh.
It's not for sale anymore, you got to get clear. Did it sell? Is it in contract? If you could sell it, you got to push before they hang up, okay?
Now, we don't get that far. Do we call back within that same week or give them about a week or two? Or, like, I had an appointment at 11 o'clock this morning. The guy told me when I called him back, he said, well, I'm sorry, I already gave it to somebody else. Now, we spoke 2 days ago, you know, and we had the appointment, but how soon do I call him back? Or, you know, the one that's, do I call within that same week?
Well, you know what? There's really no if they've hung up on you, right? And you haven't been able to get that dialogue conversation. By the way, the rest of you, don't be freaking out. People don't usually hang up on you. Really, trust me. Everybody on this call, they usually don't. It's just Keisha. It's different. Queens and New York, they curse at you. You know, they send the mafia. It's a totally different market. So don't anybody get all weirded out about it. Okay.
I do all over. I mean, that's where I live, so that's where I want to market. So I don't normally get hang-ups. It has happened, so, I mean, you're right.
Okay.
Everybody don't hang up, but I just want
to
know.
Yeah, so here's what you do. I mean, there's no right answer to when you should follow up. If you've had some dialogue with them, you built some rapport, and you think they might remember you, then you don't want to call like the next day because then you're going to seem too aggressive and you're going to tick them off. But if you didn't have any dialogue, they don't remember who you are, shoot, man, I would even call that night because maybe you got her at the wrong time or him at the wrong time, and she's not going to remember that you just called 6 hours ago because they didn't give you a chance to even let you identify yourself. You follow me?
Right. Okay.
Hold that question because I want you to ask me the question, but I want everybody to hear what you just said. You had an appointment with a guy, and he canceled the appointment because he listened with somebody else 2 days. Ladies and gentlemen on the call, please listen to me. There is so much money to be had out there with FSBOs and expireds. Those two sources, if any of you on this call wants to have a financial breakthrough and make six figures, the secret is working for sale by owners and expireds. I guarantee you, it's like, just imagine like there's a whole orange trees, and the oranges have to be pulled from the branches. That's how much business is out there. You just have to break through and push through what's stopping you now in making these calls. Even if you're horrible, you're going to get business from it. But you got to keep making the calls. Now, Keisha, ask me your question.
Now, do you think it's more effective? Like, okay, do you think it's better to sit and make 100 calls a day, or the morning of, like, okay, I will go out and do the expires, go knock on all of their doors? Like, what do you think is more effective, sending out expired letters or knocking on doors? Stay out in the field more.
All right. You asked me a couple of questions in there, and they're all good. And then I'm going to open it up to anybody else that has a question before we say goodbye. First of all, door knocking or making calls, that's a personal preference. So I can't tell you that either one is better than the other, okay?
Oh.
So whatever you like to do, you should mix it up and see. One of our students, Marty Sorrentino, man, this guy, he loves door knocking. I don't love door knocking because it's just, to me, takes a lot of time to knock doors, to walk down the street. I almost feel like a Jehovah's Witness. Not that there's anything wrong with that. If you are a Jehovah's Witness on the call, I don't like it, me personally. But that doesn't mean it doesn't work. When you like it, it works. So you got to find that out for yourself, Keisha. Which do you like better? And you can do a combination. So that's it on that. The second thing is, should you make like 100 calls in one day? Well, there's two theories here. Number one is you can make calls until you get an appointment. What I used to do is I used to just call Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night, and once I got my appointment, I would stop making my calls because I would run right over that night. So I didn't usually schedule a bunch of appointments throughout the week on one or two nights of calling. So, and I've had some agents, what they've done is they'll just make two calls a day. They just, because they always don't feel like they have the time to make the calls, but they can commit to just making two calls a day, even if it's in the car when they're driving to another appointment. So there's really no right answer on how to do it. What is important, the only right answer is you pick a system and stick to it and be consistent with it. That's number one. Number two is, I do think, I will say this, if you say I'm going to make, 30, 40 calls in one day and set up for the whole week, the only problem with doing that is sometimes when you get into a bad place, a bad rut, like everything you touch just turns to poop. Well, sometimes you can actually be training yourself to do it wrong. So if you're making call after call after call and you're not in the zone and you're messing up, you're just going to continue to do more of messing up. So sometimes it's if you're going to do that, you have to have the instinct to say, you know what, I ain't doing it today. It ain't working for me today. I'm in a bad place today. I'm dropping it. I'll do it tomorrow. So that's it. Did that help you, Keisha?
Yeah. One last thing, if I can, and I'm going to leave you alone. What's the verbiage on calling for someone who's maybe on a do call list? I mean, I'm not trying to tell you anything, but is there a way, because I would want to target them too, you know?
Keisha, I just need to keep my word because I said I need to open it up to other people, okay? So I can't answer another question because I got to let somebody else ask me if they have something. But if you want to stay on the call, I'll address that after somebody else gets a shot. Does anybody have a question? Yeah, thanks, Keisha. I appreciate that. Who has a question?
I do.
Yeah, what's your name?
Mary Pomerico.
Hey, Mary. How you doing?
Good, Joe. How you doing?
Good. What's your question, hon?
Well, my question is, I have no problem getting in the door. No problem whatsoever. I have no problem building a rapport. My problem is they tell me for sale by owners, they don't want a list. But they become my friend, and they call me for advice. I don't know how to get beyond that point.
Well, that's a great question, Mary. Whenever I get this question, I always think about there's a commercial that used to run a lot for teenagers, and some of you may have seen it. There's a girl in a lake, and she's drowning. and there's a girl standing on the docks with her back to the, her girlfriend who's drowning, with her arms crossed. And the caption said something like, I'm going to mess it up, but it was like, if your friend was drowning, wouldn't you go jump in and save them? And then it's the next part to it is, well, when your friends are taking drugs, it's the same thing. Go stop them and save them. So, in other words, you need to get aggressive with the people you care about because you care about them. So, Mary, if you've built rapport, you get in the door, and you've become friends, you're now not really helping them if you don't start to now get aggressive and in their face about, you need to just listen to me. I mean, you got to just be aggressive now with them because you've earned the right to. If you've built that relationship with them on the phone, you giving them free advice is not helping them. It's actually enabling them to continue to do the drug called FSBO. Are you with me?
Yes, gotcha.
Stop being an enabler.
Okay. So what if they say to you, Daryl, and I've had this quite a few times, I'll give you 2%, just bring me a buyer. No problem. I don't want a list, but you can bring me a buyer.
You simply say to them, let's say, Mary, do you have a daughter?
Yes,
I do. I'm asking you. Okay, good.
Yeah,
all right, so let's say she's going to get married. She might be married now. Let's just pretend for a minute she's going to get married.
Okay.
So I'm assuming as the mother, you want your daughter to have the best wedding she could have, and one of the most important pieces of that is a wedding cake, yes?
Yes.
So let's pretend, Mary, that you go to 6 bakers, and you say to each one of these bakers, listen, I want the best possible cake for my daughter's wedding. So all 6 of you, I want you to bake me the best possible cake for 100 people. And the one that does the best job, that's the only cake that I'm going to buy. Let me ask you a question, Mary. How many of these 6 bakers are going to roll up their sleeves and start baking a cake for you?
Not many.
None of them will. None of them will. Why? Because you haven't committed. You haven't given them a deposit. You haven't made some kind of commitment to one baker to roll up their sleeves and start baking a cake for you. Are you with me?
Right.
So when you say to the real estate agents, including me, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you a 2% commission, you don't have any buyer, any agent, I'm sorry, rolling up their sleeves trying to sell the property for you.
Right.
That's number one. Number two is, When you say I'll pay you 2%, usually what you've got there is a buyer agency situation, meaning that the agent is representing the buyer.
Right.
Let's say you were going to go to court. You're the defendant, and you've got the other person who's the plaintiff. So the plaintiff is suing you, and would it make any sense for you to pay for the attorney of the plaintiff, the one that's suing you? Does that make any sense, Mary? Help me. Not at all. But when you say to an agent, hey, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you 2%, that's exactly what you're doing because that agent ain't representing you. They're representing the buyer. So you're paying for that buyer, their representation, their agent, to come work against you. I ain't smart, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, does it?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So if you're willing to pay the 2% to the selling agent, why don't you pay another 2-3% and let me represent you to try and get your property sold, and I'll represent you. So I'm going to do two things. I'm going to spend my money to market your property like a baker trying to produce a result. And the second thing is I'm going to be your attorney in a sense, representing you with all the other real estate agents who are going to be representing the buyers who are coming in. Just makes all sense. Listen, if selling a house is as simple as putting an ad in the paper, you wouldn't have to be licensed by the state of New York to help other people do it. So there's got to be something of value that I bring to the table other than just bringing a buyer into your house. Are you with me, Mary?
I love when you do that, Daryl. That's so great.
Well, but here's the point. Forgetting about the dialogue that I just said, you've got to, if you're building that rapport on, which I can sense that you're probably awesome at doing that. So once you've done that, you've built this rapport, you need to now slap them and get them to live. By the way, some of the people on this call, you're from different parts of the country. I'm adapting my dialogue right now to my tri-state area questions that I'm getting from New York, New Jersey, and et cetera. Those of you in the South, you got to be a little bit more appropriate to your market. But you can hear from Mary's voice, you know, she could get away with it. If she's built rapport, Mary, you can get away with saying, all right, listen, let's stop the nonsense. Just sign the paperwork.
Right, right. And we did. And actually, my partner and I did do that. We kind of told them, you know, we told them, and they said they're not interested. They're not interested. They can do it themselves.
Okay. Well, you haven't conveyed. So you've got to look at the dialogue, Mary, that it's possible that you're spending a lot of time building rapport, but you're not being aggressive enough in showing them why selling their house is losing money. See, if they say, listen, gang, if a homeowner says, we want to try it on our own for a couple of weeks, and if we don't sell, then we'll call you, the problem that happened in the listing appointment is you did not convey to them correctly that selling on your own will only result in them losing money. So even if they can sell their own home in a day, any time that a homeowner sells their own home, they've lost money, because everything that I've ever provided you in any of the trainings, especially Sure Results, I show you how a homeowner loses money when they sell on their own every time. USA Today article did it. NAR approved it. Even the ForSaleByOwner.com, the president that created it, I gave you an article where it said that he couldn't sell his own property, the guy who created ForSaleByOwner.com. So why would you try and take a bad bit? Why would you want to lose money? Mary, you didn't convey that on the appointment. So if I were going to tell you, here's three phases. All right? So the first phase, Mayor, build rapport. Second phase is show them, listen, don't sell on your own. You're gonna screw yourself. You're going to lose money. Now, I'm not saying this because I wanted you to listen to me. It's not about me. Forget me. As a matter of fact, you don't like me, don't listen to me. But here's what you have to understand. Every stat, every study, everything shows FSBOs lose money. So you don't ever want to sell as a FSBO. Now, here's why. Ba, 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 ba. Now, here's what I do to help you get your property sold. Ba, 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 ba. So now, what do you want to do? And if they say, well, we still want to sell it on you, go back to, I screwed up. I didn't explain it well enough to you. Why would you want to lose money? Because that's what you're telling me you should want to do. But I think you're smarter than that. It's obviously I screwed up and I didn't explain it well. Let me just show you one other thing. Anyway, did this help you, Mary?
Yes, it did. Thank you, Daryl.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetie. Now, let me just go back to Keisha, because officially the call's going to be over right now. But let me just, so I'm going over the 60 minutes because I don't know why. I'm just doing it because I want to. Keisha, what was your question again?
Thank you. And I just wanted some dialogue to call somebody that's on a do not call list. I'm not trying to.
Oh, okay. Listen, yeah, the do not call list. You don't need special dialogue for that. So let me just cover this, and then I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. So Keisha, okay. You can't ask me anything anymore.
Until next month.
Till next time, exactly. And Keisha, if you email me ahead of the call, I can get better prepared and answer quicker. But
okay.
Let me say in 45 seconds about the do not call list, and then I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. You have to do whatever your broker says to do. So whatever the policy is of your office, that's what you should do. But here's what I've discovered, and here's my thought on the matter. The do not call list does not apply to realtors when we are calling people who put an ad in the paper. Because they're putting it in the paper asking us and everybody to call about their property for sale. So we're exempt in that scenario. Number two is, Keisha, with expireds, the do not call list says you can call people as long as you had a prior relationship with them in the past 18 months. Well, every expired, we had a past relationship through the MLS because they put the property through MLS, and through that we were sub-agents of the listing agent, which also gives us rights to call. So calling FSBOs and expireds are totally okay, even if people are on the do not call list. Again, you have to do what your broker says, but that's what I teach to all my students, to ignore the do not call list and just call. And not one of my students in the past 20 years have ever gotten sued because they called a FSBO or expired. So that's it on that. All right, now, last thing I want to say to you, gang, is we are moving into, the summertime. The good thing about this is there's going to be a lot more buyers. The bad thing about this, there's going to be a lot more lookers. So you want to continue to build your listing inventory, get ready for a healthy summer. Now, I've said this before, that it's possible 2012 could be a rough year with a lot of foreclosed properties coming onto the market. It's going to create a glut of homes. We haven't seen that yet. As a matter of fact, everything that I've read, it says that that expectation has not happened, that the banks are still holding back on this dam of properties. So, you know, right now the times are still good. So continue to work your tushies off and put a lot of sales up on the board, get a lot of listings up on the board, so if the market kind of goes a little south again, you're prepared for it. Any money that you're making now, some of you said you're having some great times, please take some money, put it onto the side like a squirrel. Put some money, don't start buying stuff now. Just put some savings away because you may need it, all right? I hope this call was helpful for you. Thank you, gang. Don't forget, you don't just help people buy and sell real estate. You actually help them make an important decision in life. You help them get to their next level. So the more people you help, the more money you're going to make. Go out there, make a difference. God bless. I'll talk to you on the next call. Thank you, gang.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.